All right, good morning. I will call the executive committee meeting to order. Let me ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Members of the public can make a public comment using the raise hand feature during the agenda item or make a request for any item using the Q&A feature. Members of the public will have 3 minutes to speak during public comment and receive a 30-second warning before their time expires. I will now repeat this in Spanish. Los miembros del público pueden hacer un comentario público utilizando la función raise hand o levantar la mano durante el artículo de la agenda o peticionar cualquier artículo utilizando la función Q&A o preguntas y respuestas. Los miembros del público tendrán 3 minutos para hacer su comentario y les daré una advertencia de 30 segundos antes de que el tiempo expire. I will now call roll. Fletcher?
Fletcher here.
Sotelo Solís? Ilo Rivera?
Present.
Hall?
Here.
Moreno?
Moreno here.
Salas? Sankey? Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the March 3rd, 2022 meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion by myself, seconded by Member Hall. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right, that motion passes. We'll go to number three, public comment. Let me ask the clerk if we have any requests to speak.
There are none, Chair.
All right, let's jump into our, we have two discussion items today, one around Youth Opportunity Pass pilot program launch, and we will turn it over to Stacy for this presentation.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Stacy Bishop, Marketing and Communications Manager. Excited to be with you all this morning to talk about the upcoming Youth Opportunity Pass program. It's a fairly short presentation today. Just wanted to get you an update on the status of that as well as our education efforts. And so just a quick recap, this is a pilot program that's funded through the SANDAG Transit Equity Pilot with additional funding from the County of San Diego. MTS will receive $6.2 million to fund the discounted or no-cost transit passes starting next month, May 1st through June of next year. The Youth Opportunity Pass is open to anyone 18 and under, so there's no requirements based on San Diego residency, school enrollment. Anyone 18 and under is eligible. It will be valid on all fixed route MTS services as well as NCTD bus, Sprinter, and Coaster services, and it will require a Youth Pronto app account or Youth Pronto card, and that's a really focal point of the program operation, which is what a lot of our education efforts over the next coming months will involve. And so the good news is existing youth riders who are already set up with Pronto don't need to take any additional steps to start receiving the Youth Opportunity Pass May 1st. They're automatically be rolled over into the program. We will be removing the ability to purchase youth month passes later this month. So we're going to try and remove any technical complications that might arise so that people will no longer be able to pay for youth month passes. We are encouraging app downloads whenever possible due to just more limited card supply for youth cards, but we have allocated over 20,000 preset youth Pronto cards to this effort that MTS, NCTD, and SANDAG, as well as community partners, will be distributing over the next 2 months. So as far as the customer education, the program announcement was made this past Friday on April 1st. Information is available at the SANDAG website, youthopportunitypass.sandag.org, as well as our website, sdmts.com/youthopportunitypass. And there's a ton of information, FAQs, how to get enrolled in the program there. Again, a lot of our efforts are on educating people how to get set up with Pronto so that they can take advantage of the Youth Opportunity Pass starting May 1st. SANDAG's website also has a partner toolkit available for download for anyone that's looking for resources and content to share with your audiences. You know, some early results that we're seeing is that There's some excitement around it. So part of this process is if you have the app to download by default, those cards are set, or the app accounts are set to adults. But you can go online or call us to convert that to a youth account. And so since the program launched on, or the program announcement was made on April 1st, we've seen a really high spike in requests for youth cards and youth app account conversions on that website. Looking at January through March, about less than 40% of all of our reduced fare conversion requests were youth. And that number is almost 80% through the first 5 days of April. We're also seeing about triple the rate of card requests coming through. So that is good news. So as far as some of the education efforts that our teams will be doing, we put out system signage. So certainly want to make current riders aware of this. So there is onboard notices on all vehicles. We have business cards that our field staff, operators, security ambassadors will be passing out. We'll be doing ticket machine screensavers at the point of sale. A lot of digital communication. So like I mentioned, a pretty robust website. We have takeovers on both our website and the Ride Pronto site right now, social media, e-newsletter, and we'll be launching a paid advertising campaign a bit later this month. Our customer service teams are also out at stations. We have a call center hold message, a booth outside the transit store that will be there all month and into May, additional signage at the transit store. And then we'll also be conducting outreach over the next 2 months to help distribute those free cards. And then SANDAG additionally is partnering with community-based organizations and schools to help distribute information and cards. They have a webinar today for any organizations interested in participating in that, but already have, I think, well over, you know, a dozen partners who are going to be onboarded for that. And then also they'll be handling the media relations as part of the partnership. So these are just some of our examples. So those are some of our examples of what very high energy and fun, which is what we want to communicate. So, and again, really just trying to keep Pronto at the front and center to make sure people know that you can't just get on and board with a, you know, a student ID card, that you do need to have a youth Pronto product. Okay, so the next steps. So we're really focused on app enrollment and the free youth card distribution through April and May. Just want to put it on everyone's calendar to save the date that we will be doing a media event with SANDAG, NCTD, and some community partners on Friday, April 15th to just celebrate and announce the launch of the program. And then the program will officially launch on May 1st. So following the initial push, you know, we are going to be continuing our ongoing rider education efforts about tapping and scanning and making sure that youth know that, you know, they need to tap or scan when they ride. We have our upcoming summer campaign that will focus on families. And so certainly, you know, pushing the message that youth can ride free is a great encouragement to get families out and exploring San Diego on MTS. And we'll also be working with some community-based organizations to possibly do some field trips, again, just to get people out and exploring more of San Diego. And then in the fall, we will definitely have a back-to-school education effort just to take advantage of that natural increase in ridership we usually see. And then, of course, ongoing monitoring of the program use with SANDAG and NCTD to measure effectiveness and make sure that, you know, all of our communications efforts are working. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. It's all very exciting. So we'll get to it. Let me ask my, do we have any public speakers in this?
There are no public speakers, Chair.
All right, let me ask my colleagues. I see Member Moreno.
Thank you for the presentation. This is all very great news. Although it is a pilot program, I think it's, you know, we're finally getting to a place where we are able to target potentially our future riders. So very happy to hear this. I do have one question. I have a few questions. So just to clarify, just to make sure I heard you right, if you have and once again, youth opportunity passes are a bit, difficult? I will say difficult to get. I tried to get my niece and a youth opportunity passes, and I think it took me two or three separate times because the youth have to actually be present in order for you to get a youth opportunity passes, So if my niece that's 17 has a regular pass, a regular adult pass, she could go online and she changes it online to a youth opportunity pass. Is that correct?
Yes. So you can either go online and our website, all of the YOP websites have a direct link to that. You can also call the Pronto Support Center to have it converted to a youth account. And then we are also accepting, you know, for guardians that want to get a pass for a youth that's not present, they just have to have proof of eligibility. So like their student's school ID at outreach events or the transit store.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And now in the South Bay, we have six different school districts. I'm including National City. I don't know if the mayor is here, but I want to make sure that we're partnering up with our South Bay school districts, such as Sweetwater, South Bay Unified, Chula Vista Elementary, San Ysidro Unified, and also I'll throw in National City. I believe we're already working with San Diego Unified, but just wanted to check in for the other four that I just mentioned.
We can check in with Sandag about that. They're handling a lot of the card distribution and toolkit communication efforts with community-based organizations and school districts. So we believe that they've been working, you know, region-wide, county-wide, but we can absolutely confirm that they've
made contact. Thank you. Most of our riders are in the South Bay on the Blue Line. So I think an extra focus in that region would be very beneficial for our riders. And also I include Chula Vista Elementary because we do have a lot of parents that, you know, do not own cars. So we absolutely need to target the elementary school districts. And so when will we get an update on this? When will you come back to give us an update?
We can be coming back this summer, certainly. Give us at least a month to get some data and then we'll bring it back.
That would be great. And if I see you guys are very, MTS is very active on Instagram. Thank you for that. And if you get, you know, continue doing that, because I know, although I think I might be dating myself on Instagram, everybody's moved over to TikTok now, but I think very good efforts on that front. And this is just amazing news. This is gonna be a game changer, you guys, when we talk about continuing our ridership and actually building our ridership. I think this is it. So thank you for the presentation. I appreciate it. And I look forward to the update. Thank you. Or do you need no, this is just informational item, right, Chair?
That's correct. Just informational.
Wonderful. Thank you, you guys.
All right. Member Elo Rivera.
Thank you, Chair. Really exciting to see us this close away, or this close to something that's been such a long time coming. I'll have more comments about that at the next meeting we have, but I did want to, you know, thank our community partners again, you know, Mid-City CANS, CIED, CDC, EHC, the folks in City Heights who've championed this for literally a decade. Also, Sharon and your team, having been at Mid-City CAN when this rolled out the first time as a pilot, this seems like, to just be very blunt, a lot more thought and consideration has been put into making this successful. Councilor Moreno asked some very important questions about ensuring that we're getting this in the hands of students. My questions largely center on ensuring that we've got a plan in place for fair enforcement once we have this surge of young riders on our buses and trolleys. So can you all talk about the details for how security staff are being trained and prepared to interact with youth on the system?
You know, we are actually bringing this to our security community advisory group next week as a topic of conversation to get their input on it. Certainly our code enforcement folks have been discussing that. Anytime we launch something like this, we're always very, I'm not gonna say lenient, but we basically allow for a learning curve for our customers. So we will not necessarily be seeing a lot of enforcement right off the bat. We will be more educational in our approach to the students or the youth that are using these passes.
Got it. Okay. Thanks, Sharon. And I actually really appreciate that this will be going, you know, you all will be having a conversation with community. I think that they'll probably have some good ideas for ways to, you know, successfully enforce the rules around fares that need to be enforced while also making sure that young folks feel comfortable riding. So I appreciate that. It's good to know that. I look forward to partnering with you all to continue to spread the word about this. Cannot express how excited I am that this is finally about to launch, and appreciate all the work that's being done to make that happen. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me see if there's any other comments. I don't see any. Very exciting. Look forward to implementing it and monitoring and watching the increase in ridership and learning a lot about how we can do this right over the next year. And thank you to the members of MTS. Board members have been very active in this for many, many years to get us to this point in the SANDAG for the funding. So we will go to our next item, our capital projects update.
Thank you, Chair Fletcher. Good morning, Dennis Desmond, Director of Planning and Scheduling. And I'm here with Heather Fury, Director of Capital Projects. Our CIP program each year has 40 to 50 projects in it typically. And a lot of these are projects that are upgrades and enhancements at our divisions and facilities. But we wanted to give you an update on 10 specific projects that are more customer facing or a little bit more public today, or larger scale projects that we're currently working on. The first one is an extremely important project to us. It's our bus division 6. We currently have 5 bus divisions that we are operating services out of. We came to you in the fall of last year with an update on this specific project, which is an expansion division for the future growth of our system. Right now, we are limited in capacity at our 5 existing divisions. If we wanted to do any kind of major expansion of service, we would need a 5th division. We're also electrifying our services, our buses, and that means that that's gonna take some space at the existing divisions. It's gonna push the buses out of those. So we will need expansion space, and that's exactly what this division is doing. Our focus for this division is really on creating jobs for the community that it goes in, for adding technology and innovation really through our electrification and some of our training and apprenticeship programs that we have. So we think this is really gonna be an asset to the community. We're currently looking at 7 different sites, and I'll go into a little bit of detail on those. We've selected a preferred site for the purpose of the environmental analysis, although a final site hasn't been selected yet. SANDAG is currently the lead on the environmental evaluation. They are looking at the 7 alternatives. We're gonna be doing some more community engagement in the coming months. And then we hope to have the final site selection and certification on the environmental side this fall. So this is a little bit of a repeat from last fall, but this map just shows 2 centroids, the yellow dots, one in the University and 30th area in North Park, and one in the Market and Euclid area in Lincoln Park. And these are really the centroids of where our future service expansion is going to be. Somewhere between the mid-city and the southeastern communities along the 805 corridor. This is based on adding frequencies to services, especially in environmentally disadvantaged areas, as well as where we expect to have expansion in new services. So when we were selecting a site, we wanted something that fell on the line in the area between these two locations. And that's really based on the types of services that are operating out of these. So we looked at the different land uses in the area. For the most part, this area is either residential, freeway, or canyon land. And some of our really critical points for this project is that we didn't want to displace any residences. We didn't want to displace any community serving commercial businesses, such as markets and hair salons, that type of thing. So we really wanted to focus on existing commercial and industrial areas. In this area, they're largely focused on the southern portion of the area along the Market Street corridor and Federal Boulevard corridor. So on the map, you see some parcels in blue and pink. These represent really the major industrial and commercial areas within this yellow oval we see on here. Most of the areas, especially in blue, are really too small. We need about 12 acres. And for comparison purposes, that's what the yellow box and the inset is. That represents about what a 12-acre site would look like. So the areas in blue really either were too small or didn't work for other reasons. So the seven sites that we're looking at fall within the areas shown in pink. And these are either along the Market Street corridor near Gateway Center, if you're familiar with where Costco is off the 15 freeway, and then on the other side of Market Street next to Mount Hope Cemetery, there's some industrial land there. And then up along the 47th Street and Federal Boulevard area, where 10 News and Coca-Cola are, if you're familiar with that, off of the 94 freeway. So what we needed to do for the purposes of the environmental study was to come up with a preferred site based on a lot of different factors. These are technical and operational factors, and also a lot of what we heard from the community when we went out for our outreach in the fall. A lot of the community priorities were, first of all, electrification. They didn't want to see diesel buses for sure out in this area. So it's important to note that this is going to be an electric bus division. They're also very interested in the jobs that this will be bringing. And they wanted to make sure that it was on an existing commercial property. So the preferred site, which is shown in green, meets all of these criterias. We also looked at things like freeway access, what the current uses are on the property, what the improvements are on the property, since when you purchase property, you're not only purchasing land, but also the improvements that are on top of it, and what the relocation requirements for existing tenants might be. So the current status of the project, again, we're doing the environmental studies. Sandag's the lead on that. We're doing ongoing engagement with the community. Again, we're gonna kick off another round of engagement this spring. And then the board approved a contract a couple of weeks ago for conceptual site design work at the preferred site. Again, this is not the final site. That will be chosen at a later date, but it's of the seven sites, the one that we found to be the most feasible. If another site is selected, then we'll go back and do those more in-depth environmental studies on that alternate site as well. Looking at the preferred site, just to give you context, hopefully the cursor shows up. This is Federal Boulevard along here. Highway 94 is just off the screen where about the red bar is on the bottom. 47th Street is the north-south street towards the right side of the screen. The southwestern corner of Federal and 47th is a Coca-Cola property. It doesn't look like that anymore. They've raised all of these buildings. They've got framing up for a mid-rise office building, and then they're gonna be rebuilding the distribution facilities. For that reason, this was not among the preferred sites, although it is one of the seven being evaluated. The preferred site is the areas outlined in blue. It's a conglomeration of several different parcels. One of them is a parking lot at the northwest corner of Federal and 47th. That's actually owned by Coca-Cola, or Reyes, which is a Coca-Cola distributor. and then several parcels to the west of that. We don't go all the way to the softball fields. There's another site in between that, another parcel in between that. It's a company called Scientech, but it's all of these parcels in between here. And this is what we'll be doing a conceptual design on what a division on this site would look like.
So Dennis, I'd like to pause here just because this is such a significant piece of our ability to get to zero emission technology 100%. And so this is something that we've really been driving the process as much as we can through Sandag. But we've also not been sitting back and waiting. So we've been doing things concurrently. Sometimes that can cause a little bit of ruffle, like, why are you doing this before you do that? But we have to move things forward because the money is flowing from the federal government right now. And that's why we want to seize the moment. But we are very cognizant of the community needs. So that's why we're going to do another round of outreach and discussions with the various community organizations, as well as individuals and people who care about this community as much as they do. One thing that I do want to emphasize that Dennis put on his first slide is we're really trying to brand this as an innovative thing. And so, yes, it's going to be zero emission bus, but are there other things we could bring to the community? Are there, you know, a community educational forum where we could maybe prop up a way for high school students to learn about the job opportunities? Is there an opportunity? I know I keep bringing this up to the board, but is there an opportunity for childcare resources that we could share with another organization? So we've been really, really challenging the creativity of the staff to say, what else could we see at this location? So we are going to try to get rid of that name, the Division 6, which is about as boring as a name can be. so marketing's been working on that. And so the next time you see this, hopefully you will see it under a new name. We applied for a grant through the Bus and Bus Related Facilities Program. Kudos to Julia and her team. But unfortunately, we are punished for how good we are because they don't want to fund new things when they're funding old things in everybody else's part of the country. So we have been very good about state of good repair. The federal government is trying to replace 100-year-old bus facilities. They're not looking to build brand new ones. But they did give us in our post-grant debrief, they did give us the intel that we should apply for some of the other programs because they're more focused towards new innovation, this kind of project. So we will be prepared on the next round of awards to try to really take that opportunity. I don't know if the chair wanted to entertain any discussion on this since it is such a big project.
Yeah, let me ask if we have any executive committee members have any comments on this. Obviously, it's been an ongoing effort. It's always hard to find 12 acres of land. I think we've arrived at a good target and a good place. And I really like the idea of, you know, what more can you do on this site and what more can you make? And certainly childcare is something we should, I mean, every entity, whether you're a business or a government agency, ought to be thinking about how you incorporate childcare into your facilities. But I see member Ilo Rivera, and then we'll go to member Moreno.
Thank you, Chair. Basically, just because we're going to repeat what you just said. I wanted to just tell Chair, I think that's a great idea in terms of the additional opportunities that they're exploring there, especially with respect to childcare. Just big cosign on that.
Thank you. Member Moreno.
I just wanted to confirm you're asking for feedback just on this particular item, right? Just the
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Division 6, and then we'll go on with the rest of the room.
Got you. I'll hold my comments and thank you. But good job.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. There you go. Good job. Carry on.
Great. Thank you. The next, I've got the same picture here, but it's not going to look like this. The next project that we're that we're going to talk about is our downtown layover facility. We've got a dozen bus routes that end in the western end of downtown. All of these routes are now parking buses, 2 to 3 articulated buses in many cases, along the curbs and in the downtown streets. This is a continual ongoing challenge for us. We're constantly losing this curb space to developments, new driveways, other things. We're also have portable restrooms out on the sidewalks in downtown, which are challenging and not necessarily the safest for our drivers. So we, since 2009, have been working on a downtown off-street layover facility when we knew that the rapid buses were going to be coming down there. So this is a very, very long project that we've been working on with Sandag. But what we originally were going to do was it was going to be an all locally funded Transnet project. We're now federalizing the project so that we can use federal funding for it. That means that we do need to do environmental work on it. So Sandag is doing that right now. They've actually already purchased part of the block between Union, State A and B streets. And they need to wait until the environmental work is done to purchase the remainder of the block. We expect to have that done in fall of 2022. So this will enable us to bring most of those buses off street into a facility where we can have nice restrooms for the drivers, have the buses off the street, and we aren't subject to different developments and things going on around downtown. In the meantime, with the partial lot, the partial block that is already owned, we're looking to see if there's any short-term improvements we can do because we're about to lose even more layover spaces to state redevelopment that's happening in the area, state properties. Sandy Cedar Transit Center is one that we've been talking about for a long time because of the challenges and our needs down there. A couple really significant challenges are, one, we only have 2 tracks down there. That's going to limit our ability to add service and improve service on the Blue Line. We'd really like to have a 3rd terminal track. The other thing is that there's a lot of congestion down there, pedestrian, train, and auto congestion. So this is a short-term project to remedy those 2 problems by coming up with a solution that's probably going to involve relocating the station. The idea that we would remove the grade crossing challenges that are down there at Rail Court in the south end of San Ysidro Boulevard, add a 3rd terminal track for the trolley and enhance the mobility and safety, as well as just the look and the environment for the station down there. So Sandag currently has a procurement out for a contract for community engagement, planning, and conceptual design. Following that, they'll have environmental certification for the project, final design, then construction. Our goal here at MTS is to have this done within 5 years. Hopefully that's not a stretch goal and we can do that. That work is continuing at Sandag with these various contracts. We have a bus stop improvement project that's in our CIP. This is an ongoing project that we come to you.
Hold on one second. Sorry. My guess is Member Moreno has a question on San Ysidro. So absolutely. Why don't we pause here and address that.
Thank you. I thank you for bringing this forward. I think at one of our budget, at one of our budget committee meetings, I had requested for MTS to provide an update, a full update on what the status is for the San Ysidro Transit Center. I don't know if this is it or if something else is going to come forward. I'm happy to hear that Sandag is in procurement for community engagement. That's wonderful. We do have a goal. MTS does have a goal. So I would implore our staff to be very engaged in that community engagement. MTS has a good relationship with a lot of folks in San Ysidro. You guys know who, I know Sharon knows who all the stakeholders are, and we need to have them lockstep with us. Whether they, you know, agree or disagree, we need to have them engaged in this process. So I would welcome our staff to please, please, please be engaged in those, in the community outreach part of it. And when will the procurement conclude? So when will they start doing the community engagement?
That's something we actually, we have reviewed the proposals for that, and they should be going to the Sandag board within the next month or two, hopefully to award that contract. So I expect the engagement to start within a few months once that contract is awarded and the contractor's on board.
Wonderful. Well, just reiterating, I would love to have MTS very much engaged in this process. This is the most important trolley stop. You guys have the data, 12,000 people get on and off that bus line. That trolley line every single day pre-COVID. The next one up is 12th and Imperial with about 6,000 people roughly. So this is one of the most, if not the most important trolley stop of our system. So please, and if there's any way I could help, let me know.
Yeah, thank you, Council Member, because we will be a lockstep on this project. We know how this works and we would never want someone planning something on our line without our full engagement and our recommendations as well. So we'll definitely be keeping this on the front burner over at Sandag and we'll be engaged with the community outreach as well.
So I did want to talk about our bus stop improvements project. We recently completed 8 bus stops in the last capital project cycle, and we have 24 more stops. And I wanted to just sort of show what we do with each of these stops. We're largely doing enhancements to bring them up to accessibility standards and to prepare them for future amenities at stops where that's appropriate. So we are focusing this CIP on disadvantaged communities. So you'll see a lot of where these are done are places that have been historically uninvested with capital. The 8 stops that were recently completed are largely in San Ysidro and Otay Mesa with some other stops in Lomita and College Grove. And I'm going to go through some pictures because I think a picture tells 1,000 words, if that's the right expression. So this is a stop that was recently completed. This is on College Avenue at College Grove Drive across the street from the Walmart. Currently, all of our services have to go all the way down College Grove Drive to turn around by the Target because we didn't have a stop on College Avenue that was accessible. So this project built that stop. What you see on the left is the conditions before. It's an aerial view of the conditions before we built the stop, and you can see there's no sidewalk along College Avenue there. And there's no connection to Racine Road. So we remedied both of those with the new stop. The stop actually isn't in service yet. It's gonna go in service in June and we're gonna add a shelter here as well. And we'll be able to straighten out the two routes that serve this when that goes in service in June. This is a stop on San Ysidro Boulevard at Avril Road next to Southwestern College. And you can see before we actually did have a small cement pad that allowed for an ADA boarding, but the bench was in the middle of the sidewalk, so it really narrowed the right of way. So we extended that pad and made it a much larger pad. We were able to move the bus bench back, and now people walking by aren't interrupted by people sitting on the bench. And we also have a much larger ADA boarding pad. This is down the road on San Ysidro Boulevard at Cottonwood, largely the same improvements. This was actually just completed, so that bench hasn't been moved back yet, but we'll be able to move that back off of the sidewalk with similar improvements with what we're up at Avril. This is a stop on Camino de la Plaza Via Nacional by the outlets. And you can see we actually on the left side had a pad there before, a large pad, but the hillside was encroaching into the area, as it rained and the dirt came down. So we built a small curb at the back, and this bus stop is actually going to get a shelter in the near future. And then we did the same thing on the other side of the street. This is westbound Camino de la Plaza, Via Nacional. We did the same thing. We extended the bus stop and put a small curb at the back, and we will be installing a shelter here as well. I saved the best for last because I think this is one of the most dramatic improvements that you see. This is in Lomita on San Vicente Street. For our Route 4, there's a large dirt area between the curb and the sidewalk all along San Vicente Street. It's about 12 feet wide. We actually relocated this stop from adjacent to the resident to the other side of the intersection. Now it's next to the school, so students and parents that are going to the school now don't have to cross Norm Street. And we have a nice wide concrete pad with one of our nice new benches on it.
When we talk about bus stop improvements, I think the one critical, it seems like a no-brainer. Oh, just get out there and do it. But we're working in other people's jurisdictions. And so we constantly are butting up against the permitting process and all that. And, you know, Dennis's group works so hard to like just, it makes sense to do these improvements, but there's stormwater departments and there's, you know, traffic departments and then there's the adjacent schools or whatever. And so it's a lot of work for one little thing that makes such a difference in the lives of our riders. So I appreciate the planning department for being so diligent on this.
And actually I have to give credit to Heather and her staff because they really carry the water on this. The map that you see here is the 24 stops we'll be improving under the FY23 capital program. And it's one CIP project, but this is actually 24 individual construction sites that all have their own design, engineering, and permitting. So it is actually a lot of work. It's on the construction side, it's not one project, it's 24 projects. So that is a lot of work, and that's credit to Heather and her staff for all of that. These stops you can see that are largely in City of San Diego Council Districts 3, 4, and 9. Again, we've focused on areas that have been historically underinvested. You know, we'll continue this effort. This is the next FY23 program, and we'll have another set for FY24. So I'll turn it over to Heather to talk about the next few projects.
Thank you, Dennis. And I would say my department wouldn't have projects if it weren't for the planning department to dream them up. The next few projects that we're going to talk about have all been TIRCP funded projects through the state. And part of the reason we've been successful with the state is our active planning department figuring out where we have challenges with pedestrians and our vehicles and regular vehicles. America Plaza Santa Fe Depot Enhancement Project is one of those places. We have trolley and bus customers crossing Kettner Boulevard to travel between Santa Fe and America Plaza. And this project is going to consolidate some of those crossways, and it creates a new crosswalk that is actually north of the railroad tracks, parallel to Broadway. But we think this is really going to kind of streamline some of the jaywalking behavior that happens naturally when people see the train and want to run to catch it before it leaves the station. So this project's going to realign some of the curbs, allocating specifically for buses, for TNCs and taxis, and for regular parking. There'll be two new crosswalks that will be one signalized, and others will have lights to just advertise to drivers that people will be walking. We're at a 90% design completion right now. We're working through the City of San Diego for permitting, as all of this work will be in their right of way. And we are planning to advertise for construction this summer, awarding the contract in early 23 and having construction complete in early 24. Imperial Avenue Double Track is another important project for us, and this one's going to happen right here in our backyard. This project is funded in 2018 through TIRCP and is going to add a second terminal track for the Green Line downstairs. So the existing Green Line station has one track at it, and it's going to be converted into a two-track station, so a center station. Some other elements of this project include a pedestrian connection north up 11th, but most of you know it as the access point to the parking garage here. But we're going to actually have a sidewalk so that people can travel from the station area north up to Imperial without having to walk in the drive lane. So I think that'll be a big improvement. And we will also have the ability to connect from the blue line onto the green line, which will give us some operational flexibility if we need it when there's an event happening downtown or something else. The construction here is going to start this June after APTA. We're working closely with our special events in Padres, and the plan is to be complete in July of 23. El Cajon third track is another additional terminal track for us. This is out at the El Cajon station, and this is adding, what you see on the screen in red is the third track that kind of pulls in to the north end of the station, and passengers would be able to transfer from what's shown as a red train onto the green or orange line. But this will improve our travel to our on-time performance on the green line and the orange line, and would potentially allow us for a future shuttle out to Santee. Because of the single track segments on the Santee line, it harms our on-time performance at times. This construction contract will be in front of the board next week, and we're hoping to start construction this summer and be complete in the fall of 23. I'm going to send the next two back over to Dennis.
Many people are aware, because it's very evident, of the Bus on Shoulder project that's on the 805 freeway. This is from the 54 up to the 94, and then along the 94 freeway from the 805 into downtown. This is a project specifically to benefit our South Bay Rapid 225. It's going to allow the buses to use the shoulder segments, side shoulders along the 805, and then the median shoulders, for the most part, along 94. SANDAG is the lead agency on the project, but there's been a significant amount of work, obviously, with Caltrans and CHP and MTS on this. The shoulders will be usable by buses only when the freeway is congested, when it's operating at 35 miles an hour or slower. And one of the primary benefits is that as the buses are traveling on the shoulders, the ramp meters will actually hold cars from entering the freeway while the bus passes. So we won't have the conflict of cars coming on the on-ramps while the buses are traveling along the shoulder. It did require significant capital upgrades along the shoulder areas that were not originally built for bus travel. So there was some widening and some strengthening of the shoulder pavement sections that has been done. So this is only usable by buses when the freeway is traveling at 35 miles an hour or less, we really couldn't do a lot of testing during COVID because there weren't incidents where the freeway was traveling that slow. So that was actually a big challenge. Now that congestion is coming back, we've been able to do some testing. SANDAG did some additional improvements requested by CHP in the last year. And now we're hoping to start service actually using the shoulders next month. The El Cajon Boulevard Busway is a project that benefits primarily our Mid-City Rapid Route 215. This was a project that was intended to be a low-cost, fast implementation project to provide some bus priority along the El Cajon Boulevard corridor between Park Boulevard and Fairmont Avenue. And so it was only essentially paint and striping. There was no signal work done, no curb and gutter, that kind of thing. It was adding signs and changing the paint. So in addition to Route 215, also our local routes 1 and 6 use various segments of this. It's currently still a pilot at the City of San Diego, but there isn't a sunset date. So we're planning on continuing to use this. We've learned lots of lessons from this. Some changes we've made were fairly immediate and already have been made. Others will be applicable to projects like this in the future. Iris Rapid is our new rapid route in the South Bay that will be connecting the Otay Mesa Transit Center with Imperial Beach via the Iris Avenue Transit Center. We have 12 new electric buses on order that will be used on this, funded through the state's TIRCP program. And we are anticipating a construction contract award this month. Buses are already on order and expected later this year through early 2023, and services expected in mid-2023 to start.
To support these new 12 electric buses and the 12 that we will be arriving into our system next year, we are currently under, we have a contractor in place that is working through the submittal process and some SDG&E approval items to install 24 overhead electric charging pantographs at our South Bay Bus Maintenance Facility. This will be our first overhead charging installation at MTS. So we're really excited about it, excited what we will learn from it. A construction contract was awarded earlier this year. We're anticipating construction will start within the next 2 to 4 weeks. And we're anticipating it to be complete by this fall and have the system commissioned in early 23 to start charging the buses before we start service.
So we hope this was a useful high-level update on these projects, and I'll turn it over to Sharon and then answer any questions.
Yeah, I only wanted to highlight as well that there's been a challenge, I think, with the scheduling of the bus procurement. Mike, do we have an update on that? And again, it's all supply chain type of issues. Yes, the Arctic.
Yeah, the Arctic buses. Originally, we were supposed to get the pilot bus in June. It's been pushed all the way back to the last week of October. That's the first bus. We were supposed to take delivery of all 12 before the end of the year. I think we're to the third or fourth week of March of next year now. And it is all supply chain. Even getting just non-revenue vehicles, fleet vehicles, is very difficult. We've had cutaway deliveries that have been postponed by 18 months, even just because nobody can deliver. But they seem to think New Flyer is the supplier for the 12 Arctics for the Iris, and they're pretty confident, most recently at least, that that newest schedule should hold. So at least getting the pilot bus in October will really help us through the commissioning of the infrastructure, so we should be ready to go. They've made several of these vehicles, so we're hoping there won't be a long commissioning process for the vehicles once we get them. So.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep. All right, let's go to Member Hall.
So I would like a clarification. If we could go back to the third line. And I'm getting a roof put on my house as we speak, so there's a lot of pounding going on. You had mentioned shuttle. Can you explain that? You're going to keep the trolley, I assume, correct? Going to Santee?
Yes, the plan is
to. I just heard shuttles. What scared me to death.
Sure, understood. The plan is to keep the trolley running to Santee. Once the third track is built, I think we'll look at some service. And if we were to contemplate a shuttle, it would be a trolley shuttle.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify
that. What we recently did it for some other construction we were doing on the line. And so we will definitely keep in mind the customers while we do that.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Member Moreno.
Thank you, Chair. This is my first time on the executive committee, and I have to say that I really appreciated this. I don't know if we do this at executive committee, but this was a very informative presentation. I did have a question on the when the 11th and Imperial item was brought up. There was mention of getting funding from TIRCP. I might have gotten this wrong, but if you can let me know what the acronym stands for.
Sure, that's the Transit and Intercity Rail Capital Program. It's a cap and trade funding program through the state that provides funding for projects that specifically enhance rail. So even though we're using them for some bus projects, it's because they feed into and enhance the rail project.
Awesome. And how much did we get from TIRCP?
It depends on the project. We're using that for a couple of projects in here. You talking specifically about this Imperial double?
11th and Imperial, yeah. Just wondering.
I'm getting baseball hand signals from our CFO in the back. I think he's saying 4.1, but 41 million for the entire TIRCP grant that we got in this round.
Wow. And is that money that we just receive or do we apply for that?
No, it's very competitive. We've applied in every round. We've had great success, I feel, given our position in the state. I do think, for instance, we received it to replace a lot of the high floor cars on the trolley, as well as the courthouse station was funded by it. That was the first round. And then we put in a whole host of projects that included the Iris Rapid. So that's been funded through it. We've got the 12th and Imperial triple track or double tracking. The Elkhorn third track was also funded through that program. Beach Street, Middletown improvements that we did to help us with operations under Midcoast. The America Plaza enhancements to enhance the pedestrian experience there, that's also been funded through it. And we are certainly not resting. We will be applying for more of these projects in the future.
And this is MTS applies, not Sandex.
Correct.
Wonderful. And I'm assuming that this is probably funding that we'll look out for the San Ysidro Intermodal Transit Center, right?
Yes, and Sandag is eligible to submit, and we have submitted with them in the past for like low sand type improvements, but generally we try to look at this as a program that is a standalone for us as well.
Wonderful. Well, once again, you know, kudos to everybody on staff. Like I said, this was a great presentation. I think somebody mentioned the design and planning department. Thank you for everything you guys do. Just wonderful presentation. I appreciate you responding to my questions as well, Sharon. Thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you for all the comments and discussion. Go to agenda item 6, review of the draft April 14th MTS board agenda. Let me ask executive committee members or staff if they have any comments on that draft agenda that we've put forward. All right, not seeing any. Other staff communications and business?
Sorry, there is one thing. We are bringing the ratification of the SMART contract. They did approve it this week.
Good. Okay, so we will add that to the agenda.
Yes.
Committee member communications and other business? Not seeing any. Our next meeting date will be May 5th, 2022. And with that, we stand adjourned. Thank you all.